The show is live and local. It's your connection to local music and more. Support for our show comes today in part from the Illinois Symphony Orchestra in their rhythmically rousing concert celebrating Valentine's Day with pianist Jade Simmons, featuring the music of Rachmaninoff, Gershwin, Bernstein, and Ravel's Bolero on Saturday, February 12th at Sangam Auditorium Springfield and Sunday, February 13th at Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. Information is available at ilsymphony.org. And we'll be having pianist Jade Simmons on our show on Friday. Had a wonderful conversation with her earlier in the week, and we'll broadcast that and several of her performances on Friday's show. On today's Live and Local, we have some singing Valentines from the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company a little early for Valentine's Day to give you perhaps a chance to obtain such a thing for your sweetheart in time. Also on the show, actors from the Station Theater, the Celebration Company there, is putting on a play by Sarah Rule called Eurydice, based on the Orpheus legend. It's sort of a twist on the Orpheus legend. And director Matthew Green and colleagues are with us in the first part of today's show. It's live and local for you. Stay with us. Here is a group called Slide from Ireland, and this is called Spry Slides. We heard music performed by an Irish group called Slide, and they're actually named out of a type of tune that they played right there, Spry Slides. They played several, obviously. Heard here on Live and Local is a group that's actually been in our community, oh, within the last 2 years and appeared on this show, at least the two of them, in conversation. And in conversation in today's part, this first part of today's show, Live and Local, we have the director and one of the actors from the Celebration Company at the Station Theater's production of Eurydice, a play by Sarah Rule, which opens on the 10th, which is tomorrow, and runs through the 26th. The Station Theater is in Urbana, and all their shows are at 8 o'clock. Don't run quite every day, and you can certainly check out their website at stationtheater.com. I never remember if it's org or com. And that was Matthew Green, who was directing the show. And he's brought along Dallas Street, who makes his way around various theater companies in the area to perform some quite varied roles, as does Matthew himself. So thanks, gentlemen, very much for joining us.
Sure. Thank you.
Eurydice is a character who is usually heard in context, paired up with Orpheus and Eurydice. And I understand that Sarah Rule's play is, as it's called here, a free adaptation from the typical Orpheus legend, myth. What do you call it?
Yeah, myth. In the original myth, Orpheus is the world's greatest musician, which is a conceit that exists in this adaptation as well. He marries Eurydice, and on the day of their wedding, and I hope I'm getting this right, she takes a walk. She takes a walk in a field, and she is set upon by a satyr, you know, a monstrous creature. And in running away, she falls into a nest of vipers and is bitten and dies, and then is transported to the underworld. While there, the lord of the underworld, Hades, becomes infatuated with her and doesn't want to give her up. Orpheus eventually uses his music to try to travel to the underworld and save her. And the lord of the underworld and then Persephone, his actual wife, they are so moved by his songs that they allow him to attempt to take her out on condition. The condition is that they can leave the underworld, but they must not look at each other. He must walk facing straight ahead. She will walk behind him. And if he turns and looks at her, then the spell will be broken, or the deal is off, basically. And then she'll be lost forever. As in a lot of Greek myths and in a lot of just sort of heroic literature, it's the woman is in danger and the heroic male figure comes in and saves the day or attempts to, and she's more of an object, more of a victim. In this adaptation, Sarah Rule has focused the story on Eurydice's point of view, her perspective of the events that happen, and in doing so makes her more of a well-rounded person, giving her more of an active role in what's happening to her. She also invents the character of Eurydice's father, who is in the underworld and whom she meets there. And a lot of the story of the play is Eurydice and her father reconnecting in the afterlife, in the underworld. And then the conflict is created of when Orpheus comes to try to rescue her, will she want to leave? Because she has rediscovered this love for her father who's been lost all these years. So in addition to romantic love, which one would expect from this kind of story, and certainly exists in this play, and in addition to that, we also have this incredibly deep bond between father and daughter. We have this really beautiful presentation of the bond between parent and child, which I don't think we see a lot of, especially in theater. In theater, ordinarily, families are highly dysfunctional, you know, and you frequently get, you know, a father and a daughter, but there's, you know, there's antagonism or there's a family secret or, you know, something like that. And that's all, that all makes for great theater, and it makes for some really interesting entertainment.
Either comic or tragic.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. But this is just such a sweet representation of the relationship that can exist, and I mean, I'd go as far as saying should, between parent and child, and just this deep connection.
So is there any issue made of the notion of underworld as hell? Do you want to stay there?
Well, it's left
with
a little,
your father.
It's left a little vague. I mean, that does, however, putting it in those terms, does set up how much she must want to be with her father should she choose to remain. I mean, that's a pretty firm bond. It's never so much put in terms of hell. It's just this other place.
Yeah, it's very much a limbo, and there are three characters, the three stones, the big stone, little stone, and loud stone, who are kind of these stone gargoyles who encouraged Eurydice, you know, just to be, just to accept, mm-hmm. you know, where she is. I would say any aspects of hell are probably brought on with my character, he is the Lord of the Underworld.
You are Hades.
I am.
Never named.
Never named.
Oh, really?
He's
yeah.
kind of a big baby. and Sarah Rule, I mean, in writing this beautiful piece of longing and ache and romance, she writes this crazy character of this overgrown child. And she writes in her stage notes, stage directions, you know, he enters with loud heavy metal music blaring. So that kind of sets the ground rules. You can do anything you want to with this guy. And I'm having more fun than should be allowed because he definitely serves, you know, not only a purpose in the plot, but certain to lighten the mood and to add a general tone of creepiness to the piece, wouldn't you say, Matthew?
I would.
Yeah.
I would, in all caps.
Yeah. Well, Orpheus is generally a tragic myth. Mm. Is this a comedy?
It has comedic elements, I would say that. It has all the elements of a good story.
Mm-hmm.
It does have romance. It has, It has extreme tension. It has a family plot. It does have a lot of humor. And there is that deep chord of longing.
And there's a lot of theatrical magic that's happening on the stage. There's some technical things that shouldn't be allowed to happen that are just really magical.
They defy the logic of the station theater space. They truly do.
You're going to leave it at that, I'll bet.
I'd be willing to tease that a little. The idea that the play calls for an elevator in which it rains. That's not something you see every day in a black box theater. We have a number of, what shall I call them? Escape routes and hidden passages and just things that our little black box theater ordinarily would not be able to support. I think it was Kay Holly the other day. Kay Holly plays our Big Stone. I think it was her the other day in rehearsal. I overheard her saying, "This is the most theatrical thing the station has done in quite a while." I mean, normally the station in general and I personally lean more toward naturalistic pieces. I mean, even amplified naturalism. I mean, you know, bigger than life. But this is highly theatrical. It has fairy tale elements. The language is incredibly poetic, and there are some outlandish set design elements, costume designs. My designer is Eric Burton, who has constructed a very, very interesting grown-up playground for us.
A grown-up playground.
It has elements that I would consider Wonka-esque. It is truly bizarre. It's hard to describe. It's not that I'm trying to be coy about it. It's that it's hard to describe exactly what we have, because when you walk into the space, we've painted the set in such a way that a lot of it sort of disappears from view, and then once things start happening, you see that they were there all along.
So I'm actually trying to picture Dallas Street. Mm-hmm. Whose voice you heard just a few minutes ago, when you said, as the Lord of the Underworld, you're kind of a big baby. And the last time I saw you was in The Flight of the Lawn Chair Man.
Another big baby.
Another big baby. Is this stereotyping?
I hope not. But, you know, when I read the script, I was like, oh, I know this guy exactly. And so I hope not. But I'm having a blast.
Well, Matthew made reference to poetic language mm-hmm. in the play, and I think that you brought some of that language along to sample for our audience.
Sure. I mean, I don't have a lot of the more beautiful passages like Steve Keen does. He has some beautiful speeches along with Christopher Brown, who plays Orpheus. But
Who is Steve Keen?
Steve is...
He plays Eurydice's father.
I haven't seen him on stage in years.
It's been a little while. I was reading the bio he wrote for the program, and it's a return to the stage at the station after an absence of several years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He used to be a stalwart thrilled. There and, mm-hmm. you know, considered one of our better local actors.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Oh, and still is.
Man. So what have you got?
This is my interaction with Orpheus.
But Orpheus isn't here.
Mm-hmm. No, he's not.
So is this going to be like a Bob Newhart telephone conversation in which we hear?
Well, there's one of those in the show as well, but
an actual telephone conversation.
Yes,
of sorts. trying to contact the underworld through an operator.
This is sounding better all the time. So this is Dallas Street as the Lord of the Underworld from Sarah Rule's play Eurydice. Directed by Matthew Green, both Dallas and Matthew with us. It's going to be at the Station Theater starting tomorrow and running through the 26th in Urbana. And here we go, live and local.
You've come for Eurydice, and you thought singing would get you through the gates of hell? Well, you'll have to do a lot more than sing. Start walking home. Your wife just may be on the road behind you. We make it real nice here, so people want to stick around. As you walk, keep your eyes facing front. If you turn around and look at her, poof, she's gone.
And that's that.
And that's that.
That also reminded me of the Satan character from the South Park movie.
Oh, yeah.
If anybody has seen that, who is, of course, a real, not what you'd expect Satan to be. I mean, aside from the fact that, no, I guess he shacks up with Saddam Hussein.
Oh,
I
yeah.
But that, I'm sure that doesn't happen.
No, and if I remember correctly, he had much lower voice.
There is, however, a character called the Nasty Interesting Man.
Which is also me.
I
kind of do double duty.
What can you say about the Nasty Interesting Man?
He meets Eurydice up top, up above, and has a letter that he finds from Eurydice's father, how it got up to the... Do you call it the upper world?
I tend to refer to it as the above ground world.
The above ground world. Yeah. How this letter got up there is a mystery. But he delivers that to Eurydice and is quite taken with her.
Yeah. What's the full cast for this? How many people?
We have 7. Lindsay Markle plays Eurydice. Christopher Brown plays Orpheus. Steve Keen plays Eurydice's father. We have Dallas Street as the Nasty Interesting Man, alternately known as the Man, the Child, and the Lord of the Underworld, in the script. We also have our 3 stones. The Big Stone, played by Kay Holly. The Little Stone, played by Claire Cowley. And the Loud Stone, played by Martha Mills.
And is, you said Claire?
Claire Cowley.
And is she little?
Physically, she's not a big person. She is. I mean, she's not diminutive. She's, you know, but she has a very interesting voice.
She's a very interesting voice. She's like a pixie.
She is.
She was a former student at Parkland College, and she did a lot of characters out there, and she plays. I mean, she's a small presence with a lot of personality.
Mm-hmm.
What else has Sarah Rule done? I mean, I should have looked her up and I didn't.
Well, she also wrote The Clean House and Dead Man's Cell Phone. And very recently, she wrote something called In the Next Room, the subtitle of which is Or the Vibrator Play.
So are these other shows also have a mix of comic, tragic, dramatic, romantic?
Yes. And I would also, although none of the others deal specifically with mythology, I would say that they deal with a blending of both contemporary and classic themes. I mean, In the Next Room is more or less a costume drama, mm-hmm. well, costume comedy. But, I mean, it has a very contemporary bent to it. Fascinating playwright. Everything I've read of hers has been really, really interesting. I picked this one up. I mean, the reason we're sitting here today is because of my wife and my daughter. My wife, Lindsay, gave me a big box of plays for Christmas 2 years ago. And I've been slowly working my way through them. And one day we were talking about just in general how, you know, why aren't there more female playwrights whose work gets produced? Why don't we hear, you know, why don't we see more of them on the roster at this theater or that theater? And I said, well, you know, Give me a play written by a female playwright. Let me sit down and read it, you know, which is not to say that I don't typically read them, but just that, you know, I was like, all right, well, hand me one. So she said, well, what about this one? This was in your box. Have you read this yet? And it was Eurydice by Sarah Rule. And I said, no, I hadn't. So I sat down and I read it. And at the time, my daughter was probably about 4 months old and having just gone through, you know, 9 months of the pregnancy and then 4 months of being a new dad and having my life completely upended, I sat down and I read this play with this really
you know, fascinating, deep, strong relationship between the father character and the daughter character, mm-hmm. which includes, because in the underworld, people tend to forget everything and have to learn it all over again, including learning how to talk, learning how to read, learning how to communicate, learning how to recognize people you already know as who they are. It was overwhelming. And so now my daughter's a year old, and I'm in rehearsals for this play, and, you know, she has five teeth, and she's running all over the house, and she's starting to say actual words, and she's trying so hard to communicate, which is a big moment in this play. Eurydice desperately wanting to communicate and not knowing the language. And it was just completely overwhelming. I mean, she was 4 months old or so when I read this, and I finished it, and I was crying, and I was deeply moved. And, you know, we went through the selection process of getting the play chosen to be in the season, then went through the months of waiting for our rehearsal period to begin, and I'm continuing to read this play and think about this play. And then we get into the rehearsal process, and now we're about to open, and all along the way, my daughter's been, you know, growing and learning and changing into more and more of a complete little person. And it just, every aspect of the show becomes more and more moving to me watching that.
Does that make it a good thing that you're not actually acting in the play?
I don't know. I've wondered about that. I know that I drew upon a lot when I was doing A Steady Rain a couple of months ago. To play that particular character, I was drawing a lot, because he was the family man of the two of them, and I was drawing a lot on my own feelings for my daughter and my family, because there were some very emotional lows in that play. And I've found, since becoming a father, that it's not as difficult to go to some of those places as it used to be, because I acted in the play Rabbit Hole with Lindsay Markle a couple of years ago, and we were playing young parents who had lost a child.
And is Lindsay your Lindsay?
No, Lindsay.
This is a different Lindsay.
No. Lindsay Markle, while not my wife, I will say that I am platonically deeply in love with her talent. I truly am.
She is incredible.
I am quite smitten with her abilities. Mm. She's. This is the second time I've directed her. And both times I read the play and immediately thought of her. Hmm. I thought, this is something that is kind of off kilter, and it requires a very strong voice, and it requires someone who can go to these emotional places and be fascinating just to watch her thinking something through. And Lindsay Markle is all of those things. My wife, Lindsay, equally fascinating, but not involved in this show.
I interrupted you. Actually, you said you were playing a husband and wife with Lindsay Markle.
We were. In Rabbit Hole, we played, you know, a young married couple who had lost a child. And at the time, I was not a father. I had no idea that I was going to be a father. This was before that conversation had taken place. And so I was trying to draw upon emotions that I didn't really have access to. I can access a certain amount of loss. I can access a certain amount of sadness. But now, if I were faced with playing that same character and thinking back to some of the scenes we played, it would take such a toll on me. I mean, just thinking about it, it would be so emotionally wrecking.
To do that particular
to
show.
To do that, yeah.
You know, you said something interesting during rehearsal, that you typically don't watch your own shows after opening night.
I don't.
But this would be one that you would be interested in seeing.
You don't watch the shows you direct?
What I do is I'm very sneaky about it. I peek at them. Typically, if I'm directing a show, when the show opens, I find a way to put myself on the crew, or I find a way to hide behind something so that I can listen to the audience. I listen to the show, and I listen to the audience's reaction, but I don't like to sit in an audience. I can't sit in the audience. I get too nervous. Hmm. I'm nervous for the show, not because of any misgivings about the work we've done, just because I'm sitting there and knowing what's going to happen and the emotional involvement of everyone involved, I just get too wrapped up. When I had directed My Name is Rachel Corey, which was a one-person show, and it was Lindsay Markle for an hour and a half monologuing about, you know, some very deeply, you know, personal and very emotional things. I sat in the lobby every night. I sat alone in the, most nights I was alone. I sat alone in the lobby, and I would pull up a chair and put my feet up, and some nights I would do a crossword puzzle. But I was listening to the show.
I'm now going to look at Matthew Greene's characters very differently whenever I see them on stage, now that I know a little bit more about Matthew Greene. We have just a minute before we've got to bring on some singing Valentines, but Dallas, I'm curious to know, what do you draw on for this particular character, since you said you know this big baby when you read the script?
Well, a lot of this has been creating a character from the outside in. From a costume standpoint, working with our incredible costumer, Malia, I'm wearing some of the most insane outfits that I've ever worn. I have the best entrance I've ever had on stage. And a lot of creating this character has been from the outside in, you know, just layering on these elaborate, you know, garbs. And I was talking with Matthew, and we decided that he was kind of the rat king, that rats like very dark and moist places. And the underworld is a very dark and moist place in this production. So I've kind of based him on what did you say at rehearsal?
This is the best direction I've ever given in my life. We were in rehearsal and we were talking about this character and we were doing a scene, and I said, he's like a rat because he hoards things, but yet he's a big baby and he's like a child king. I said, he's a baby rat king. Play that. And then he did.
And that worked. And in this case, it really helped to get in the character once you had the costume.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Because that's often true for people in plays and musicals anyway.
Yeah.
But especially for this.
Yeah, it's really clicked since we've started dress rehearsals.
Well, it sounds like a fascinating show, and I'm already mentally thinking of my own calendar, thinking, when can I go see this? It's Eurydice, a play by Sarah Rule, put on by the Celebration Company at the Station Theater in Urbana, directed by Matthew Greene, featuring, among others, Dallas Street. Matthew and Dallas, my guests on this first part of Live and Local today. The show opens tomorrow and runs through the 26th. Check the Station Theater's website for all the exact days and how to obtain tickets. It's stationtheater.org. I've forgotten it again.
.com.
Well, probably the other one comes up as well. And we have coming up in just a matter of moments some Singing Valentines from the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company in advance of Valentine's Day. This is Live and Local. Our programs today are made possible with support from Green Yoga Spa in Urbana. Green Yoga Spa offers Swedish massage, Thai yoga therapy, private yoga, reflexology, hot stone massage, couples massage, Reiki, and deep tissue massage. More information is available at 217-367-YOGA or online at greenyogaspa.com.
Baby, I'm amazed at the way you love me all the time. Maybe I'm afraid of the way I love you.
That was Susan Werner, and it's me. I don't have the CD, so I'm not sure which tune she was covering. And a wonderful CD that I'd forgotten I had on my shelf. So thanks to my intern Jason Hayes for selecting that. And you're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Starting tomorrow, WILL and its community partners will team up again to fight hunger. This year, for every pledge made to WILL Radio, Common Ground Food Co-op will donate the cost of 6 meals to Eastern Illinois Food Bank. Your pledge during this 3-day mini drive supports inspiring music and helps to fight hunger here in our community. So I hope you'll join us for that starting tomorrow and going through Saturday. With us on the show now, we have 12 folks from the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, some of whom I recognize from actually having been on stage or backstage or pre-stage before I ever get to the stage in various shows. And they're here to let folks know about their Singing Valentines, which they have done for many years. And obviously, Valentine's Day is coming up soon, but if you're interested, you would need to reserve by Friday. So we thought we'd get them in here a few days early and give a sample of some of the songs that you could choose for your honey bun on Valentine's Day and spring it on them in unsuspecting locations. And not going to name everybody who's here, but I will say that Leonard Rumery is kind of directing.
Kind of.
Actually directing.
Well, actually, I was the arranger for the... I've arranged the songs for several years now, and so I rehearse the singers, usually at St. Pat's, which
St. Patrick's Catholic Church.
Yes, and they're very kind to allow us to use their facility there. And we've rehearsed now 3 times. We were going to have 4, but the snow cut one out.
Yeah, so that's done that for a lot of people. You know.
It's traditional, actually, for this group. We've delivered them in blizzards over the years on the 14th of
So you guys, you all are like the post office is supposed to be.
Neither rain nor sleep.
But proved not to be 2 weeks ago when I tried to send something express to my sister. It took 3 days, and there was no excuse for that.
I don't think we've ever missed one, actually, unless the person wasn't there. And even then, we'll call around and try to find where they are.
Well, how often does that happen? Where, you know, because I imagine that most of the time somebody is trying to surprise somebody, which means that they could be surprised in turn and not... You know, the target isn't where they're supposed to be.
There's a responsibility on the part of the buyer to make sure that the recipient is in the place that they're supposed to be, that we're going to appear. And usually it works fine because there's kind of a range of time and we're pretty good on time. It's just rarely happened when the person for some reason didn't show up to work, for instance. You know, so then we call the recipient the sender because we have phone numbers. And we'll say, well, she's not here. Where do you think she might be? Can you find out where she is and call me back? And then, so we'll try very hard to deliver every Valentine on Valentine's Day.
Now, you said she. Is it usually a he who's buying for the she or not necessarily?
You know, I would have to ask Diane. She's taking the orders this year.
As Diane Pritchard.
It's about half and half from men to women, from women to men. We also have a lot that are friend to friend, bosses to staff, staff to boss, just about anybody. And we have songs both that are love songs and songs of friendship and support.
Yeah, I imagine some of the love songs would be a little awkward from boss to staff.
Yeah.
Getting a little trouble for some of those. Well, let's hear a sample. I don't know how many you brought along, but these are members of the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company Singing Valentine Brigade. And will we know what we're hearing, or do you want
to
tell us?
Well, actually, we're going to sing. Every year I try to, we drop songs that haven't sold as well, and I try to add 1 or 2 new arrangements. And so this is actually a new arrangement. It's called Love and Marriage. That was recommended by one of the people who's here today, Mike Murphy.
Mike Murphy. All right. Well, let's have it.
Try and you will only come. together like a horse and carriage. Dad was sold by mother. You can't have one.
You can't have none.
You can't have one without the other. Doo-doo-doo-doo. Happy Valentine's Day.
Nicely done. A little rough start, I guess. Lender was about to stop the proceedings there, I think. Now, typically, you don't have this whole group that goes around. You
no,
have quartets.
We typically would have a quartet or a quintet because it's quite a scheduling difficulty, actually, because we have so many people who are interested in going, but they have limited schedule. So we have to try to find a way to include everybody at the same time to fill out every order and every quartet. We typically will have two quartets in the morning, two quartets in the afternoon, and one quartet in the evening. Always surprises me that there aren't so many sendings in the evening, because I would think, you know, you go out to a restaurant, you've got the person captive,
right?
You have the singers come in, and some of them are like that. But we tend, I think, to do them during the work day more often. And so that's why we have two quartets in the morning, two in the afternoon, and one in the evening. And I say quartet, but I really mean quintet. Sometimes even a sextet.
Well, maybe the daytime thing emphasizes the element of surprise.
And
because
also
probably the other person
the
isn't
embarrassment
there.
Factor, because there are other people who can observe the the embarrassment.
Well, and then
the embarrassment factor is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And probably typically the giver isn't there.
Right.
So, you know, isn't around to be slapped in the face or or I'm going to get you back or something like that. But I presume that these are generally received very positively.
Yes. I think almost invariably. I can only think, actually, I was talking before we came in, I can only think of one time when it was interrupting a class and the professor was not as gracious as he might have been. But in all the other classes that I've ever heard of, everybody sort of gets into the swing of it and everybody's fine.
I'm sure the students get a kick out of it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Anything that interrupts a class would be good for the students.
Have you ever had people who were completely surprised? I assume you let them know who this is from.
Actually, yes. In addition to the a rose and some chocolate hugs and kisses, we will deliver a dedication, and the buyer will tell us what that dedication is. So, yes, we do. We have sometimes to read beautiful long poems, mm-hmm. I understand. And Diane has had more experience with that.
Some loving dedications. It can be as simple as Happy Valentine's Day, sometimes with some honey bun, snuggle bear, snuggly umpkins, whatever pet names. People just write from their hearts on these. Sometimes they're very elaborate, sometimes very simple, sometimes just very touching notes of love from one to another. We've had some Valentine's Day birthdays. We've had some Valentine's Day anniversaries to deliver. We have even delivered some proposals.
I was just going to ask if you've ever had a proposal.
Yes, we have, and they were all accepted.
Wow. Yeah, that would be, I would bet that would make you a little nervous if you'd ever had one that wasn't accepted about doing another one.
I would place that back on the sender.
So whose job is it? Is it then your job, Diane, to relay the response to a proposal?
Typically with a proposal, both parties are there. We haven't. I don't think we've ever had
one. Where the sender was hiding until we were done singing and read the proposal and then kind of snuck up behind the woman he was sending it to. And then, you know, she turned around crying, and it was all lovely, and she smacked him, and it was.
So, but that's the one that would happen at a dinner.
Yeah.
That would probably happen at a dinner or a restaurant or something like that, and then the person on the knee with the ring right after or something like that.
And we've had some other unusual locations. Carol was talking earlier about delivering one inside a meat locker to a butcher. Loading dock at warehouses, bowling alley, the dialysis unit, a lot of patients in the hospital, nursing homes, mm-hmm. a lot of those. Schools delivering one this year to a second grade class. So it can be to anyone, anywhere, with limits of Champaign, Urbana, and Savoy.
And if you wanted to send a singing Valentine, what would they have to do?
Best thing now would be to go to our website, www.cutc.org, There's a link on the homepage to the Singing Valentine's order form with the list of songs and the information. Since this is Wednesday and they are due Friday, they should probably look at that for the information, then call our company office at 344-3884 and place their order by credit card.
And that phone number is, of course, on the website as well, but it's 344-3884, again, CUTC.org for Champaign-Urbana Theater Company. And you guys have been doing this for how many years?
18 years.
18 years. Obviously a successful fundraising event for you, and just got to be a lot of fun.
It definitely is a lot of fun. We wouldn't keep coming back and doing this if it wasn't so much fun. And we, as Leonard said before, we deliver in all kinds of weather.
Well, let's have it. And we've had all kinds of weather, Lord knows. Although I don't have a forecast for Monday yet, but I'm told that it's going to be a lot warmer next week, which
Thank
would
God.
Be very nice. What's our next song?
Next, we're going to sing a song that might be, rather than Love and Marriage, might be more appropriate for a friend or a boss type of arrangement. And this is called Side by Side. It's an old vaudeville song.
Travel along, singing a song, side by side. Don't know what's coming tomorrow. Maybe it's trouble and sorrow.
But we'll
travel the road, sharing our load, side by side.
Side by side
through all kinds of weather. What if the sky should fall?
As
long as we're together, it doesn't matter at all. So when they all have their quarrels and parted, we'll be the same as we started.
Just
traveling along, singing a song, side by side.
Champaign-Urbana Theater Company singing Valentine's. What do you call yourselves? I mean, you're not the singing Valentine's. You're presenting singing Valentine's.
Have we ever called ourselves anything?
No, we really haven't. We've just always called ourselves singing Valentine's.
Well, there you go. I mean, I called you the singing Valentine Brigade, but I don't know about that. You know.
Well, we might keep that, actually.
Yeah. Well, feel free. You know, you can pay my royalty later on. And these are, for more information, you can go to CUTC.org. We have support for Live and Local today, in part from Blossom Basket Florist, to stay in the theme here, with flowers, plants, and creations for all occasions, like weddings, birthdays, anniversaries, and Valentine's Day. Two locations at Cunningham Avenue in Urbana and Village at the Crossing, Windsor and Duncan in Champaign. And the Blossom Basket does deliver. Just a quick break here to mention some other events going on in our area that you can go out and see and hear live. At the Krannert Center in Urbana, it's a production by the theater department at the University of Illinois called The African Company Presents Richard III at 7:30 tonight, tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday. And I should clarify that it is not a company called The African Company Presenting Shakespeare's Richard III. The play is called The African Company Presents Richard III. There's a very big difference I discovered from reading the News Gazette article on it. The In Your Ear Big Band from Parkland College is at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight at 6 o'clock. It's Happy Hour Jazz at Emerald City Lounge in Champaign tonight at 6 o'clock. Tomorrow, Tango Buenos Aires presents a program called Fire and Passion of Tango at the Krannert Center in Urbana. That's at 7:30. Millikan University Opera Theater presents Mozart's Così fan tutte starting tomorrow night at the Albert Taylor Theater in Decatur at 7:30, and that continues through the weekend. It's a program called Beethoven's Star-Crossed Lovers, The Art of Passion, with musicologist William Kinderman and the Pacifica Quartet. It's tomorrow night at 6 o'clock at the Indigo Artist Co-op in downtown Champaign. In fact, Professor Kinderman will be on tomorrow's Live and Local to talk about Beethoven's Star-Crossed Lovers. It's a program called The Piano and the Romantic Era with pianist Rochelle Sennett and violinist Igor Kalnin at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute, a free program tomorrow at noon for about an hour. and the Sudden Sound Concert at the Krannert Art Museum with Douglas R. Ewart and Stephen Goldstein at the Krannert Art Museum in Champaign tomorrow at about 7 o'clock. And finally, Love, Laughter, What? With the Tri-County Players in Tin Pan Alley in Paxton starts tomorrow at 7 o'clock. And I think that's maybe a dinner theater. And one more, an acoustic evening with Lyle Lovett and John Hyatt at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts tomorrow night at 7:30. Let's have us another singing Valentine.
We'd like to sing for you Unforgettable, a beautiful song that I remember from Nat King Cole. I actually am that old. but many people, of course, know the one where it was remixed with his daughter, Natalie Cole.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is Unforgettable.
From the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, singing Valentine Brigade. I'll stick with that. Led here by Leonard Rumery, but that's there'll be quartets, quintets, sextets going around on Valentine's Day at just about any time of day. They're sort of grouped delivery times that you can find out about on their website, cutc.org. And we've heard three of the songs. Do we have one more that we can do?
Sure. Diane, why don't you say, yeah, we'll do Can't Help Falling in Love.
Can't Help Falling, okay.
And these get delivered with a rose, some chocolates, a message. Does anybody deliver a kiss?
Not a real one.
Maybe if it's someone that we know. That someone in the quartet knows.
And likes.
And likes.
Hopefully not too much.
Well, you know, you could send one to be singing and send one to your spouse, too.
Well, has that happened where one of the quartet members or sextet members is singing for somebody?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All the time.
Oh, really? Wow. Mm-hmm. There's another idea.
So we're going to sing Can't Help Falling in Love. I think the melody of this actually comes from an opera by Martini, but it's been so transmuted that people know it in the Elvis Presley version now.
To be so, take my
Beautiful. Well, I think any of the lucky recipients of one of these singing Valentines, well, will be very lucky indeed, and hopefully very happy, and also the senders. It's Singing Valentines from the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company. For more information, go to their website, cutc.org, or you can phone area 217-344-3884. And I guess since this show goes out to, you know, a 75-mile radius, we should probably clarify, how far will you go to sing these things?
Unfortunately, with the limits of our quartets and the time schedules that we have, we can only deliver in Champaign, Urbana, and Savoy.
Well, we have done phone orders.
Well, that is true.
Really?
Outside of that area.
We could do a phone order and call someone and sing to them on the phone, too.
Well, there you go. And then the possibilities are endless.
That's right.
Who pays for the phone call?
Well, with cell phones and unlimited long distance, that's we're probably okay with that.
Janet Robb is offering to pay for. I saw her hand up, so okay. Somebody could call China
anywhere.
Yeah, okay, there we go. Okay. You heard it here first, folks.
Yes.
Janet Robb, look her up in the phone book. Champaign Urbana Theater Company, go out and see their next show too, and audition for what's the auditions coming up? Into the Woods.
This weekend?
In fact, I've got it right here. Into the Woods. Saturday from 12 to 4 at the Busey Center in Urbana. And Sunday, what time? Who knows? I think there's Sunday times also.
Usually 1 to 5.
1 to 5. Yeah, 1 to 5. Check it out on the website, cutc.org. Thank you all very much for joining us on Live and Local.
Thank you, Kevin.
Support for our show today comes in part from the Corkscrews Bouvon Wine Bar, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with a full list of wines from around the world by the glass and by the bottle. Wine tastings are held every Saturday from noon to 4. Information at 217-337-7704 or on Facebook at Bouvon Wine Bar. That's B-U-V-O-N-S. This is Illinois Public Media, WYLL-FM, and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois.